Yo! Welcome to Simply Bitcoin Live, your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution, the cover breaking news, culture, memetic warfare. We will be your guide through the separation of money and state. We got a very special show for you guys today. But first, I have an announcement, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
SBF is in jail, arrested in the Bahamas. Also, coincidentally, around the same week, we have CZ, who's being investigated as well. So, looks like I can't curse in the first 2 minutes, but the shiitake mushroom, shiitake exchange guys, looks like they're in trouble. They're in trouble, but don't celebrate too much about the CZ because I'll make the case. It looks like they're using the same excuses that justified or gave the Treasury the power, the excuse to sanction open source software, which led the majority of Ethereum validators to openly censor for the U.S. government. It looks like they're using the same excuse to go after CZ. So, yeah, we're all not big fans of crap coins on Simply Bitcoin, but anytime the government increases in power and bureaucracy, you should definitely be wary. But in the case of SBF, I got to be honest with you guys. I wasn't that sure that he was going to pay. I wasn't that sure that this person was going to go to prison, right? Just to like recollect or, you know, remind you guys the last 2 weeks, right? You had the New York Times. He was speaking at an event that Janet Yellen was speaking at. He was speaking at an event that Zelensky was speaking at, or a very high profile event. We also know all the political contributions he made to not only the Democratic Party in the United States, but also the Republican Party in the United States under the table. So, and we also know that some senators, you know, according to the news, tried to stop some of the investigations in FTX. But it looks like all that changed. So we're going to get into the details. We're going to get into articles about all what all that means. But just a friendly reminder, if you stayed humble, stacked sats, took Bitcoin into self-custody, none of this would have affected you. Anyways, before we start the show, I want to introduce our special guest today, Ivan. How you doing, bro? Ivan is an animating legend. He's made some animations for Simply Bitcoin. Happy to have you on the show, bro.
Hi, man. I'm happy to be here. So
happy to have you. And of course, my legendary co-host, always optimistic. Opti, how you doing?
What's up? I am doing wonderful. Good to be here on this beautiful Tuesday. And yeah, Nico, I was in the same boat. I was a little shocked last night when I saw this news drop. And it was very, very interesting. I guess, you know, maybe he didn't pay enough donations. Maybe they're using him as a scapegoat. Maybe they are trying to stop him from testifying. Who knows? I don't know. Let me see. You're going to cover all the details for me, so I will make my points live. You'll get my live feedback for this one.
Yeah. So we're gonna dig into some of the articles. Also, the charges that he would, that, you know, it apparently adds up to about 165 years in jail. Now, our friends over at Bitcoin Magazine, they tagged us in a post this morning, Opti, saying, "Hey, did you guys change your mind?" I'm skeptical about whether he'll actually serve time behind bars. It still smells fishy to me. Just because of how fiat has corrupted the system to the bone, I'd be skeptical. Anyways, remember, guys, in 2008, only one banker went to jail after that whole catastrophe. No price was paid. So, anyways, let's get to numbers. Let's do it.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today. All right, everybody, at the time of recording, the Bitcoin price is $17,735. Ooh, okay, went up a little bit. Sats per dollar, 5,639. Block height, 767,246. Reachable Bitcoin nodes, 15,266. Blocks of the halving, 72,754. Halving estimate, April 25th, 2024. Total Lightning Network capacity, 5,118 Bitcoin capacity value, $90 million. Realized monetary inflation continuing. Bitcoin continues to take fiat currencies to absolute school, 1.76%. And the market capitalization of Bitcoin is at $341 billion. In the grand scheme of things, Bitcoin is still a tiny baby. Anyways, I got an interesting video for us to react to today. Apparently, this is a chief economist at the European Central Bank, and they basically ask him a question, how to explain printing money. And it's really interesting because, do you guys remember that video a long time ago with Ben Bernanke, and the 60 Minutes reporter asked him, like, so you guys just print money? And his initial reaction was like, yes, we print money, but it, the facial expressions, it's like they're trying to justify as to why they have that privilege and nobody else has that privilege. And Bitcoiners and Bitcoin works in stark contrast. It doesn't matter whether you're a king, a president, an emperor, there's a cost to creating new money. Right. There's a cost there. Right. So it doesn't create this dynamic where someone else has this privilege where they get to create money for free that everybody else has to work for. And then if you compare that with Bitcoin, everyone's equal. Right. What system, and love using their words, what system sounds more equal and equitable to you? Right. And as much as they would like to say, you know, Bitcoin is a private money, I don't know about you guys. What sounds more public and private? Right. The central bank, it's obfuscated. You don't know what the monetary policy is. Only they can create more of that. And Bitcoin, it's a public open ledger. We know what the monetary policy, it's open source, right? And anybody could make more Bitcoin if they're willing to invest in the infrastructure, invest in miners, and, you know, pay the electricity costs. What sounds more public and private to you? Right. So it goes back to this idea of they're projecting onto us what it is they know they're guilty of themselves. Anyways, let's check out this video and then we'll talk about it.
You create money is very simple. We create money electronically, if I can say. We credit accounts of, well, that people will not understand again. It's an image, you know. So, I mean, this is off now. Huh? I could say I print banknotes, but it's an image. You know, it's not the way we do because it goes via the banking system. How would you say that? We create money.
Give me a second. Yeah. Lend to commercial banks. The moment of this lending creates the money.
I see what you mean. But it's not even true what you say. When you've Let me give the. We are not. That's the classical way. Nobody is going to understand what you say. But the normally, it's. I would just think about the situation. I print banknotes. I just in my office. I print banknotes, and with these banknotes, I will buy you something, and I give you this banknote, and you give me a bond that you have bought before. You have a Schatz, you know. You have a treasury bill, you know, in your investment. And then you sell it to me, and I give you cash, which I have produced. But we do that electronically.
Who's we? It's funny because like 10 seconds into it, he's like, this is off now, right? But yeah, he got confused. Diogenes said it perfectly. He got confused and said the quiet part out loud, right? They just create money. We just print banknotes in our office, you know? Like, it's like that. Like, dude, like, clown world. And remember, these are the same people that don't want you using your own money of which you chose. They want you to use their money. Why do they have that privilege? Why? What makes them so special? And more importantly, what have they used that privilege for? Wars, social programs that you might not agree with, right? Growing this giant administrative state of which you, the taxpayer, have to pay for that you might not necessarily agree with, right? And then I think it was Dylan LeClaire that said this, but also the giant misallocation of capital as well. right? So these are all things that can be blamed on the fact that they have this special privilege, right? What Bitcoiners are advocating for is no one deserves that type of power. No one deserves that type of privilege. If you want more Bitcoin, you have to mine it, you have to earn it, or you have to buy it. You can't just, you know, go in your office and print more of it like this gentleman said. So I don't know about you guys, but that sounds like a much more fair and equal system to me. And I think that their system is a lot more unequal. It's a lot more unfair. And man, does it disalign the incentives. And I really, and I would make the case that it definitely brings the worst of humanity out because everyone's just trying to survive. Everyone's just trying to fend for themselves. And if you compare that with Bitcoin, the incentives are aligned. So you just acting out of your own incentives, you know, out of your own greed, you're making the network stronger. You're actually helping other people stack as well, right? So it's beautiful. It's like this, it's a synergy. Everything just works, right? Anyways, Opti, what are your thoughts on that video? Were you laughing as hard as I am, bro?
Dude, that video is absolutely insane. It's so ridiculous. And it just kind of, you know, I'm going to take a little angle, different angle than what you said. It reminds me of everyone telling us that, like, Bitcoin is so complicated. Bitcoin's so complicated. No one's going to understand it. And it's like, guys, the fiat system is complicated by design, like, on purpose, so that you do not understand how it's going. And this is like... This is literally his job to try to explain to you guys how fiat money works, and he couldn't do it. Like, this is absolutely insane. Like, the scam is being exposed in real time. They are saying the quiet parts out loud. And, you know, I really love that little tidbit where, like, the guy's telling him, like, how it works. And he's like, dude, nobody's going to understand what you're saying. Like, that's a feature of fiat. Like, that's not the bug, you know? And then just to our point, like, we create money. The European Central Bank, in their own words, like, guys, we tell you this all the time. And of course, it doesn't have the weight when it's just two, three YouTubers on YouTube, you know, two or three Bitcoiners on YouTube talking about it. But this is the name of the game. This is how the game is being played. And it's something that Nico and I always say on the show, like, every single day or any chance we get. Like, Bitcoin is the most inclusive, most equitable money in the world. You do not need permission. There is no small cabal of people that control Bitcoin that can print more Bitcoin. And this is a feature and not a bug. Opt out of the madness, take Bitcoin into self-custody, and you can defund these monetary demons and high-level parasites today.
Today. Anyways, Ivan, what are your thoughts on all this mess?
Yeah, the mess is full, and all those instruments that they call are actually somebody's imagination. And it's just like in a game, somebody that designed, you have to predict what would be their actions, how they're going to change the game. And it's not really about physics, what works. And the physics is very simple. You put a brick somewhere, and that brick stays, and you build a wall. But if at the end of the month, somebody comes and steals 50% of your bricks, that's taxation. And if every year they give you smaller and smaller bricks, that's inflation. And because it's virtual and behind all that jargon, and all this tool that we created virtually is not working, so let's add another virtual tool with no value to complex the thing. And now, 100 years later, that virtual game, people are seeing through what is really valuable in the real life energy and what's virtual life. And when the bonds, people realize that they're virtual things with no value, be aware what's going to happen to Bitcoin.
100%, man. And these, remember, guys, that these are the people that are pushing central bank digital currencies. These are the people that don't want you using Bitcoin. I don't know about you guys, but I don't trust them. Like, that guy is, that's not someone that I would trust. Anyways, everybody, we have a lot to talk about during the news. A lot of SBF stuff and CZ stuff. Let's check it out.
The Daily News.
brought to you by Blockstream Jade, built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. It's an open source hardware wallet for the cold storage of Bitcoin. Blockstream Jade houses a full color camera, allowing for fully air-gapped Bitcoin transactions. Scan and display QR codes directly on the device to sign transactions and verify addresses with ease. Use your Blockstream Jade with your favorite wallet software, such as the Blockstream Green, Blue Wallet, Electrum, and Sparrow. Get yourself a Blockstream Jade today and take self-custody of your Bitcoin. Oh, man. Oh, man. Opti, he's looking at you. Anyways, guys, the New York Times article, FTX Sam Bankman-Fried, is arrested in the Bahamas. A statement by the government of the Bahamas said that Mr. Bankman-Fried was arrested after prosecutors in the United States filed criminal charges. Sam Bankman-Fried, the disgraced founder of the collapsed cryptocurrency exchange FTX. Mind you, this is the same New York Times that invited him to speak. Sam Bankman-Fried, the disgraced founder of the collapsed cryptocurrency exchange FTX, was arrested in the Bahamas on Monday after U.S. prosecutors filed criminal charges, according to a statement by the government of the Bahamas. SBF's arrest followed receipt of formal notification from the United States that it has filed criminal charges against SBF and is likely to request his extradition. Mr. Bankman-Fried has been under investigation by the Justice Department over the sudden implosion of FTX, a $32 billion company that filed for bankruptcy on November 11th. Prosecutors for the Southern District of New York confirmed that Mr. Bankman-Fried has been charged and said an indictment would be unsealed on Tuesday. Earlier evening, Bahamian authorities arrested Samuel Bankman-Fried at the request of the United States government based on a sealed indictment. Lawyers involved in the case were surprised at the suddenness of the news, which came the evening before Mr. Bankman-Fried was scheduled to testify in a House committee hearing.
What?
What? I'm going to read it again. Lawyers involved in the case were surprised at the suddenness of the news, which came the evening before Mr. Bankman-Fried was scheduled to testify in a House committee hearing. That sounds rotten AF to me. Once a golden boy of the crypto industry and a major donor to the Democratic Party, Mr. Bankman-Fried has seen his vast business and political empire collapse with stunning speed. His exchange filed for bankruptcy last month, and his personal fortune has dwindled to virtually nothing. While he used to be hailed as a modern-day John Pierpont Morgan, J.P. Morgan, he now more often likened to Bernie Madoff, who orchestrated the largest Ponzi scheme in history. So then it starts talking about, you know, the whole saga of it. So that's really sketchy. And I would say that the whole news in this article, right, of course, you know, he got arrested and whatnot. But this part, lawyers involved in the case were surprised at the suddenness of the news, which came the evening before Mr. Bankman-Fried was scheduled to testify in a House committee hearing. I wonder, oh, wait, so do you think that it's because potentially some of the questions were going to relate to his donations? Maybe that is a component of it. Who knows? Here's the official release by the Bahamian government. It says a statement from the Attorney General of the Bahamas on 12th December 2022. The Office of the Attorney General of the Bahamas is announcing the arrest by the Royal Bahamas Police Force of SBF. Right. So here's the stuff. We put the link down below. Now, here are some of the charges. Shout out to CoffeeZilla. Great YouTube channel. He says there are 8 charges against SBF per New York Times. Conspiracy to commit wire fraud on customers. Wire fraud on customers, conspiracy to commit wire fraud on lenders, conspiracy to commit commodities fraud, conspiracy to commit securities fraud. And apparently the maximum time that you could be punished for this is 165 years federal prison. So big, kind of it's a big deal. Now, this is Becky Quick. She's a journalist, worked for Wall Street Journal, worked for Fortune. And she's currently on Squawk Box on CNNBC, and she posted a screenshot of the actual indictment or part of the indictment. I want to read you guys this part because I thought it was interesting. As a result, there was no meaningful distinction between FTX customer funds and Almeida funds. Bankman-Fried thus gave Almeida carte blanche to use FTX customer assets for its own trading operations and for whatever other purpose Bankman-Fried saw fit. In essence, Bankman-Fried placed billions of dollars of FTX customer funds into Almeida. He then used Almeida as his personal piggy bank to buy luxury condominiums, support political campaigns, and make private investments, among other uses. None of this was disclosed to FTX equity investors or to the platform's trading customers. And I think this is a striking difference between basically the sob story that this guy has been doing on Twitter Spaces, and you know, New York Times gave him a platform too. It's like, I didn't know what was happening. I think this is very clear, you know, what they're making the case for. And also, guys, another thing to keep in mind is that if you're charged by the federal government, they have a very high prosecution rate. And the reason for that is that they don't prosecute people unless they have a almost bulletproof case, right? I think they're like percentage of winning of cases is over 95%, if my memory serves me correct. And then here is interesting, his response by Canada. And I believe, and I've also heard this from other sources, is that this is kind of the excuse that regulators are going to use to finally regulate the industry. Now, I think that this is definitely going to affect a lot of shitcoin exchanges because they are securities after all. I don't think this will affect Bitcoin unless they try to use this as an excuse to go after self-custody. You know, you could make an argument for that, but you can't regulate Bitcoin itself. So if you've just been following our advice, what we've been advocating for is stay humble, stack sats with Swan Bitcoin, of course, and then take that into self-custody, right? It's literally like none of this would have affected you. In fact, this would be good news for you because you'd be able to buy Bitcoin right now at a discount. Anyways, goes on to say, this article by coinsurges.com, Canada bans crypto leverage and margin trading after FTX collapse. So you can make the argument that leverage and margin is a bad thing. We're not a big fan of it on Simply. But I mean, the angle that I'll hit you guys with is I'm not a fan of a government growing in bureaucracy, growing in authority, and taking people's freedoms away. I'm a big fan of the individual getting to decide what choices he wants to make over his or her life, right? Anyways, that being said, I think this is related because this did come out December 12th. Shout out to so the publication is Decrypt. There's the headline for audio listeners is U.S. Justice Department mulling criminal charges against Binance founder CZ. So it's interesting, right? Because FTX and Binance were, you know, the biggest, largest crypto exchanges, and both of them are under fire. You know, SBF, unless he posted bail, but I'm not aware of that. Right now he's behind bars, right? And it looks like CZ, which is the owner and founder of the largest shitcoin exchange in the world, which is Binance, they have the most amount of volume. It looks like the US government specifically has their crosshairs on him as well. Anyways, it goes on to say US Department of Justice prosecutors are considering filing criminal charges against crypto exchange Binance individual executives, including CEO and founder CZ. Prosecutors are divided on whether to move aggressively against the exchange or take time to review more evidence. The potential charges relate to an investigation launched in 2018 and focus on Binance's compliance with AML laws and sanctions. And I think that is the key element there. And I actually said this on Cafe Bitcoin as well. And if you think about it, right, why is that? Why are they doing KYC? Why are they doing AML? Remember the justification that the U.S. government used to sanction open source software? Right. They were saying that it was being used by North Koreans. And that was the excuse for the U.S. government to set a precedent to say American citizens are not allowed to use open source software because it's a threat to sanctions. And then you kind of have to put the dots together. Remember, Iran and Russia have both announced that they're going to potentially use Bitcoin to facilitate international trade. Right. And the U.S. government gets a tremendous amount of power from controlling the on and off the flows of money. And they do that with the U.S. dollar. They do that with the U.S. dollar sanction policy. So Bitcoin is a way for countries that are enemies to the U.S. to potentially go around that. Right. So I believe what they're doing with Binance, and they also did this with BitMEX and Arthur Hayes as well, is they're trying to make an example and say, hey, guys, if you don't comply with U.S. policy, you know, we're going to lock you in a box. Right. So I think that this is a show of strength. I think that this is what it's really about. Listen, you got to comply with our Office of Foreign Asset Control list. You got to comply with our sanction list. these are the rules. You got to play by these rules, right? And I'm going to leave any opinions aside about that. But I believe that this is what's actually going on. Anyways, it says prosecutors at three Justice Department offices are reportedly involved. The Money Laundering and Asset Recovery Section, the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Western District of Washington and Seattle, and the National Cryptocurrency Enforcement Team. Binance's defense attorneys have held meetings with DOJ officials, including potential plea deals, per Reuters. Now, it's interesting. Arthur Hayes made a plea deal as well, with Binance reportedly arguing that a criminal prosecution would have negative effects on a crypto market already reeling from the aftershocks of Terra and FTX collapse. In a statement shared on Twitter, Binance claimed that Reuters has it wrong again and that we don't have any insight into the inner workings of the U.S. Justice Department, nor would it be appropriate for us to comment if we did. In a statement to Decrypt, Binance spokesperson said that, quote, as has been reported widely, regulators are doing a sweeping review of every crypto company against many of the same issues. This nascent industry has grown quickly, and Binance has shown its commitment to security and compliance through large investments in our team, as well as the tools and technology we use to detect and deter illicit activity. Now, I'm not a fan of Binance. But I'm also not a fan of growing bureaucracy, giving the government more power. And I'm also not a fan of a few bureaucratic elites in Washington, D.C. getting to dictate who is entitled to use money and who is not entitled to use money. I think that's a bad system. I would much rather live in a world in an open monetary network where anybody could just download a Bitcoin wallet and now they could interact with the global economy. I would even make the case that the fact that all this red tape exists hinders people to interact with the global economy. And there's a lot of collateral damage. For example, if you're in Cuba, if you're in Venezuela, if you're in Iran, because of this current policy, if you're just an innocent civilian, you have nothing to do with the government, you're not entitled to use money because of the place that you happen to be born in, right? And that's how the current system works. And they want to keep that system going. Right. Which is why I believe they're making these types of moves. Right. This is why they went after BitMEX. This is why they're going after Binance. This is why they sanctioned open source software. This is why they sanctioned Tornado Cash. Right. And this is what led eventually to the censorship of the majority of Ethereum validators are actively censoring today for the Office of Foreign Asset Control. And I believe I'm going to make the case that they're going to try to attempt to do the same thing. Now, Bitcoin is very resistant to this because of its decentralization. This is what makes Bitcoin unique, right? Because to run a node, it's not resource intensive. It costs a couple $100, you know, to buy a Raspberry Pi, buy a hard drive. The barrier to entry is very low. So that means a lot of people have the capability at home with, you know, parts that you could just buy on Amazon, you could buy at a store to run a node. So that creates true decentralization in the network. And if you compare that to the second most popular cryptocurrency, Ethereum, because the resource requirement is so high, the barrier to entry in terms of expenses, in terms of technical know-how is actually very high. So only a few handful of people, which is why the majority of Ethereum nodes are run on servers, have the capability of being able to run those nodes. That creates centralization. And I think that if we do want to separate money from state, if we do want to resist that government coercion, which is inevitable, I think it's a matter of time if something is centralized, right? Remember, guys, there's a lot of companies that have tried this beautiful idea, right? Of this open network where everyone could just, you know, interact with each other's open, whatever. So we had PayPal back in the 90s, and eventually it was co-opted. You had Facebook. They tried this with Libra, and what happened very quickly, right? Regulator steps in, like, you can't have this. You can't do this. Bitcoin would have already been shut down years ago, if it was centralized. And I think maybe that's the key takeaway here, right? Is that if it's not truly decentralized, it will be inevitably co-opted by government. And I think what U.S. regulators are using is that they're using the excuse of FTX to once again justify giving themselves more power and once again justifying the more increase in the bureaucracy. And unfortunately, the bigger power the government gives itself and the more bureaucracy it is, the less freedom it is for the less freedom individuals have of that said country. And I would say there's trade-offs. I wouldn't say it's so black and white. I think that specifically for freedom, you know, freedom does take a lot of personal responsibility. And the reality is that there's a lot of people that just don't want that. Like they would rather just, you know, it's a lot easier for them just to be told what to do. I'm not one of those people. But yeah, man, this is justice served, I guess, with SBF. I know he's hurt so many individuals and so many people have lost their savings. You know, we had awesome Bitcoiners that were shouting off through the rooftops, warning people, but not enough people, unfortunately. But the silver lining, I guess, is that he's in, you know, right now he's in prison. And it also woke up a lot of people to the reality of not your keys, not your Bitcoin. So, I mean, this is a developing story. I'm sure that we'll hear more about it. I'm sure that the videos of him going into a courtroom are going to go viral as well. So we'll stay on top of it, guys. But I think this is the first inning. And, you know, in the grand scheme of things, this does not affect you if you stayed humble, stack sats, if you've taken Bitcoin into self-custody. And also, I think that this is a reality check to a lot of people as to why Bitcoin and not crypto. I hope that continues to happen. But if history has shown, people tend to forget the lessons of the past as NGU technology does its thing. Opti, what are your thoughts, bro?
Well, I love the narrative that you just weave. Perfect way to connect all the dots. And, you know, just going back to the SBF stuff, I mean, my thoughts, again, I'm the resident tinfoil hat wearer over here. But in my opinion, my take is, like, SBF is being, you know, paraded out as the scapegoat. Like, in my opinion, scapegoat confirmed. Like, the fallout was so bad with FTX and the media was so bad. And all the crazy stories we were hearing coming out from SBF and FTX, like, it was so bad that they had to do something no matter what. And, you know, me and you are, we got clipped by Bitcoin Magazine this morning because we all agreed that we would probably not see him go to jail. And we still yet to see this whole thing play out. But I think the fishiest part about this, and it's something that you kind of glossed over pretty quickly, is that the arrest of SBF happened, you know, the night before he's supposed to testify. Like, to me, that is definitely the most fishy part about this whole arrest. You know, what don't they want him to talk about? Like, what are they afraid that might come out of this? And, you know, who are they and all that stuff? But at least the truth is coming out in part. You know, the New York Times has been doing an atrocious job covering this for what? I don't know. It's been like a month. They have been giving him cover fire and making him be an altruist, and, you know, his philanthropic endeavors were the talk of the town. And, you know, too bad that he wasn't able to spend all them billions to help the world. But now at least they are covering it in a good job and showing that he printed his own shitcoin, or literally printed his own money, and then used customer funds to gamble on shitcoins for marketing and to, you know, buy politicians and donate to causes that he felt were worthy. So apparently the ends are justified, or the ends justify the means in the minds of the legacy media. And again, to your point, and we've been saying this on the show since this FTX news first hit the news cycle, is that the FTX SBF stuff will be used as low-hanging fruit to regulate Bitcoin, and this will be dragged out as long as it still makes that media wave. And to your point about CZ and making a point about him, I mean, most of these companies are not in the U.S. for a reason, because they don't want to abide by the U.S. regulation laws, and yet our government, like you said, is giving themselves more power so that they can make these companies a point of contention and, you know, try to get them under the regulatory control. It's almost like we are the world police. But hey, that's just very interesting stuff. Don't have your funds on Binance, guys. Funds are not SAFU. Again, exchanges are not wallets. Take your Bitcoin into self-custody. This is what we tell you guys every single day. Self-custody is the revolution. And, you know, again, we'll just pose simple questions. It's like, how, and I posed this in the past, again, tinfoil hat wearer, yada, yada, yada. Like, how did CZ know what strings to pull unless he had an intimate relationship with similar practices? That's all I will say.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. And wow, that you hit that, Opti. Okay, so one last observation, really. I think it's really going to come down. And guys, I've been going in my head about this thing, and I've been talking to Opti about this for hours and hours. And I've spoken to people that, you know, they're involved in the whole regulation of it. Shout out Jason. And it really comes down to like this very, and you can't demonize a lot of these regulators, a lot of these politicians. They really believe in their hearts that them having this control to get to pick and choose who's entitled to use money, who's not entitled to use money. They really believe they're making the world a better place. And then the other aspect is kind of like how Bitcoiners see it, or at least I'll speak for myself individually, is I don't think anybody should have that power. And I think that you could make the argument that there's trade-offs to both systems. And I think that that's going to be a really important question that has to be asked, because yes, they can control the on and off ramps, right? Absolutely. There's a tremendous amount of power that they could, you know, they could use to definitely do that. But regulating Bitcoin itself is a whole different conversation. What's going to happen is the more pressure, and Elon said this the other day, by the way, the more pressure they apply to the on and off ramps, the more pressure they apply to fiat currencies, right? The more totalitarian they get. And I think it's an inevitability, right? Because power corrupts, absolutely. I think what's going to happen is that not only are people going to opt out, but people are going to stay out. People are not going to go back in, because they're going to be like, why? Right. And I think that is really when this question is going to be brought to light. Right. It's like, why are you doing that? Why are you using me? Why are you forcing me to use a money that steals from me? Why are you forcing me to use a money that you can censor, right, at your own whim, at the snap of a finger? What if I don't want to use that system? Right. And it's like that's going to be a very difficult question for them to answer. Anyways, Ivan, what are your thoughts on all this, man?
Yeah, the one thing that stuck out to me, and it's kind of personal for me, the collateral damage, and we can't even measure it, because he stole money from lots of people. The problem is that he stole also from rich people, and rich people have more power, so it's kind of no go there. But I want to make an analogy that this is small potatoes based on the collateral damage that the central banks are doing. And one of the most important voices, in my opinion, is the person that's giving megaphones to people that are stolen from the most, Alex Gladstein and all his work. And I think that we should find people in those places and to give them a voice, because that's powerful. I would love to see one Bitcoiner that is in Sri Lanka, how he faced all those things. And Bitcoin doesn't, we say Bitcoin fixes this, but now we have example, Bitcoin fixed this already. So I think those are important. And if you allow me one small narrative, just as an example, in 2008, I would say my family, and more concretely my mother, did okay for her businesswoman. And in 2008, we didn't feel it as much, but things started shrinking because of all the later effects. And because it was shrinking, the person that was next to her actually wasn't working, and he demanded more and more, just like a central bank, just give me, with no effort. And we came to the unfortunate thing when she wanted to divorce him. And actually, he managed to kidnap her and beat her brutally and kill her. Stabbed her 13 times in the neck, and all her net worth, all her life's work were, I would say, stolen from me and my sister. And I would say that it was not direct connection from 2008 to that one, but it was, again, a collateral damage. And even after that, all her net worth, I would say 99% of it, was stolen from people that were involved in him, people, banks, because they didn't want us to have access. They blocked us all sorts of ways. And I would say that these years were like horrible for us. And at some point I was thinking, what is the hope there? But with Bitcoin, I don't have a doubt in my mind that we are saved. And That's why I would definitely want to hear more voices in those places, because just like National Geographic, they create a narrative with the polar bear and things like that. But I would really, when you give microphone to those voices that can say Bitcoin fixed my life, fixed my problem, we can go from the theoretical to reality. And people follow that. People follow the truth, and people follow other people that already went through it. And all those people in Sri Lanka, I would say people that didn't feel that, because where I am, we don't have that type of depression, but it's coming everywhere if we don't change to that. And you can skip the depression with Bitcoin.
Man, that's an incredibly powerful story, man. And I really appreciate you sharing that with us and sharing that with our listeners and viewers. And I'm going to tie this in with Alex Gladstein's book, right? It's Financial Privilege. And a lot of people, unfortunately, in the West forget how good they have it. They completely miss that aspect of it. And it's specifically in developing countries and countries that don't have that financial privilege, right? Bitcoin is a tool to escape tyranny, right? And there is no other tool. It is the best tool to empower individuals over corrupt governments, over criminals, right? And I really appreciate you sharing that, Ivan. And we actually had a comment from Agent Gold, and I think this was a great comment, and it definitely, you know, brings up some difficult questions. This is Agent Gold says, the question isn't if someone should be allowed to control money. The question is just if we're ready for a world where no one does. And I think that's an incredibly powerful statement. Anyways, Opti, Bitcoin is the only medicine you need to cure your depression. Anyways, Opti, let's get to the culture. Let's do it.
The Daily Culture.
Brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today. Guys, I also want to give a shout out to the BitBlock Boom Conference. You definitely don't want to miss it. It's in Austin, Texas, August 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th. Network with fellow Bitcoiners. This is not a shitcoin, NFT, or blockchain event. We talk about Bitcoin, and more Bitcoin. You guys don't want to miss the BitBlock Boom Conference, and you can take advantage of the promo code, all caps, simply Bitcoin, to get a major discount to BitBlock Boom.
All right, guys. Well, I promised you guys that I would cover the beginning of economics in one lesson, and I felt that this is fitting, not only for the show, but in general, because I think that a lot of the things we talk about on this show is a lot of bad economics from the legacy system, from the Keynesians out there, and not enough people have read this book, and it literally changes your perspective on economics in pretty much like 2-3 pages. You can read the whole book. I highly recommend you read the whole book, but I'm just going to read the, like I said, the first page or so, and then we'll reel this back into Bitcoin, and then we'll talk about the fallacies of every person out there on legacy media. Anyways, chapter one, the lesson. Economics is haunted by more fallacies than any other study known to man, and this is no accident. The inherent difficulties of the subject would be great enough in any case, but they are multiplied 1,000-fold by a factor that is insignificant in, say, physics, mathematics, or medicine, and the special pleading of selfish interests. While every group has certain economic interests identical with those of all groups, every group has also, as we shall see, interests antagonistic to those of all other groups. While certain public policies would in the long run benefit everybody, other policies would benefit one group only at the expense of all other groups. The group that would benefit by such policies, having such a direct interest in them, will argue for them plausibly and persistently. It will hire the best viable minds to devote their whole time to presenting its case, and it will finally either convince the general public that its case is sound, or so befuddle it that clear thinking on on the subject becomes next to impossible. Does this sound familiar to you guys? It sounds literally what happens on news channels every single night. In addition to these endless pleadings of self-interest, there is a second main factor that spawns economic fallacies every day. This is the persistent tendency of men to see only the immediate effect of a given policy or its effect only on a special group, and to neglect that inquire what the long-run effects of the policy will be, not only on that special group, but on all groups. It is the fallacy of overlooking secondary consequences. This is why, as Bitcoiners, we are so big on Bitcoin principles, the fundamentals, first order thinking. And this is what most Keynesians don't understand out there. And so in this lies almost a whole difference between good economics and bad. The bad economist sees only what immediately strikes the eye. The good economist also looks beyond. The bad economist sees only the direct consequences of a proposed course. The good economist looks also at the longer and indirect consequences. The bad economist sees only what the effect of a given policy has been or will be on one particular group. The good economist inquires also what the effect of the policy will be on all groups. And this distinction may seem obvious to you. Someone that still has critical thinking, someone an Austrian economist, but the precaution of looking for all the consequences of a given policy to everyone may seem elementary. Doesn't everybody know in his personal life that there are sorts of indulgences delightful at the moment but disastrous in the end? Doesn't every little boy know that if he eats enough candy he will get sick? Doesn't the fellow who gets drunk know what he will wake up in the next morning with a ghastly stomach and a horrible headache? Doesn't the dipsomaniac know that he is ruining his liver and shortening his life? Doesn't the Don Juan know that he is letting himself in for every sort of risk from blackmail to disease? Finally, to bring it to the economic, though still personal realm, do not the idler and the spendthrift know, even in the midst of their glorious fling, that they are heading for a future of debt and poverty? Again, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but from this aspect, therefore, the whole of economics can be reduced to a single lesson, and that lesson can be reduced to a single sentence. Remember this well, guys. The art of economics consists in looking not merely at the immediate, but at the longer effects of any act or policy. It consists in tracing the consequences of that policy, not merely for one group, but for all groups. Let that sink in, guys. This is what we try to tell you guys all the time in Bitcoin. Yes, we have the meme Bitcoin fixes this, and we try to explain this to you guys as much as possible. We have the other meme of fix the money, fix the world. Well, if you go on legacy media, if you watch the news, if you watch politicians, if you watch central bankers talk about Bitcoin, what do they talk about? They all say one single thing: my economic policies, this bill that I'm going to spend money on, all this money printer will help one specific group, and they do not address the fact that it is going to hurt many more people than the little specified group. They're all on the news talking about one thing. Oh, I am here to help the little man. I'm here to help this specific group of people by printing all this money. What's the one that Nika always talks about? The Inflation Reduction Act literally printed money. And so on the one hand, they're telling you we are helping you because inflation is so high. And on the other hand, we are literally stealing from you by printing more money. And as we saw in the numbers segment, they know that this is the game. They know that they are essentially stealing from you, that they are creating money from thin air, and that inflation is theft. And so, again, as Bitcoiners, we say a few simple things. And these are ideas that I feel, I know people tell me that I am reiterating the basics a lot, but it's becoming very clear that a lot of people don't understand the basics. So we have to do continue repetition, continue to beat these ideas into people's heads so that they can go on and continue to propagate the truth. So as Coinbase puts here, or Coinbits, sorry, oof, wrecked. I'm about to get Sean Harris on that one. Good things take time. Lower your time preference. And there's a little picture of cooking a turkey 3 hours at 300 degrees Fahrenheit. Does not equal 1 hour at 900 degrees Fahrenheit. And this is what we try to show and explain to you guys as Bitcoiners every single day. And it is zoom out. You know the meme, zoom out, because you need to look at the forest from the trees and understand that these economic policies of the Keynesians, of the central bankers, of the politicians, while they may look good, they may have sound good, feel good principles, and they are there to help a small, you know, oppressed minority of the people, they are inherently stealing from the rest of us, from the rest of the masses. They are taking from Paul to give to Peter, and they are fucking up society. And because they have such a high time preference, they have destroyed and stolen from the future to give to the present. And this is the fundamental problem of what is going on with the central planners, with the collectivists out there in the world. And so we tell you guys one simple thing: take back your thinking. Look at more than just the first order effects. Understand that the most important thing in a society is to save capital, to sacrifice a little today so that you can build more tomorrow versus taking from tomorrow to give to today. And again, I have the Bitcoin chart. We don't like to speculate here, but zoom out. Number will go up. Bitcoin price will go up because Bitcoin is scarce. 21 million hard cap feature, not a bug. And I found this tweet by NVK, or as Nico likes to always mention, deterministic optimism. Dear new pleb, dear new Bitcoiner, OG plebs, OG Bitcoiners, intent has always been the pursuit of knowledge and truth to make Bitcoin better. If you are crusty because of the price, lower your time preference. Being antagonistic for antagonism's sake is dumb. Attacking people just to look edgy makes you look dumber. And this is just a little PSA, because I think as humans, we have been conditioned to think in short term versus thinking on a long-term time scale. And this is why, as Bitcoiners, we are going to change society, because Bitcoiners are thinking in 10, 20, 30, 100-year scales so that we can build a better society. And it's back to one fundamental economics lesson. Understand what these economic policies, understand what your economic actions will do on a long-term versus just the first-order effects. Anyways, Nico, jump in, add your thoughts, and let's get into the meme review.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And when I was reading, when you were reading and I was reading with you in my head, dude, like I couldn't help to think the fact that we have successfully figured out how to separate the monetary policy out of the hands of humans is game changing. Right. Because there is no politician that's like, oh, you know, I'm going to take from this group to give to this other group to get myself elected. And that's really the case that the sovereign individual was making. Right. In the book 1997. Right. It made a very strong case to make that information technology. Right. You know, what we're living through, the disintermediation of information, the disintermediation of money, is really going to take away from the importance of politics. And I really believe that's the case. I really think that Bitcoin is going to play a key role here, because it is free from political interference as well. It doesn't mean that they're not going to try, specifically in the beginning, right? But in the long term, right, if there's no one to cry to print money, to bail you out, right, what are you going to do? You're going to be forced to actually take personal responsibility so that you don't put yourself in potentially very risky or very dangerous situations for you individually, financially, economically, right? And I think that in itself, right, taking away the importance of politics, I think that is really, really useful, because it is something of, it's so divisive. Both political sides, they do the same thing. When the other's in power, they blame all the country's woes and problems on them. Then when they get in power, you know, the other party does the same thing, and it just kind of becomes this like catcalling match, but it doesn't fix the issue, the fundamental problem. The fundamental problem is that both parties are not, their incentives are not aligned, because they have a money printer, right? And that's the problem, right? So how do you fix that system? You opt out, you do it peacefully, right? You opt out, you say, no, enough is enough. Hayek has that really famous clip of like, we have to find a sly roundabout way. You know, and I really think that Bitcoin is that sly roundabout way. Anyways, Ivan, what are your thoughts? And then we'll move on to the meme review.
I'm a little affected because I brought up my history, but definitely you can't print energy. Bitcoin, if I have to go back to the brick example, if you put in bricks and nobody steals from you, and nobody is giving you smaller bricks to build the wall that you want to build, that means that you're going to invest your energy in producing stuff. If there is a second person next to you that is just waiting for you to build it, that's like a parasite, definitely, like Robert Breedlove says. But the time that he is taking to take from you is the same time with you. And this is where I diverge from Robert Breedlove, thinking that they are stealing your time. Yes, they are, but it's incomplete. They're taking your productive energy, and essentially they're taking your life, indirectly or directly.
Yeah, 100%. They're literally stealing your time. And I think, you know, what is life, but not like that's, you know, you have a certain amount of time, right? That's your life. So yeah, I agree. I agree with you. Look, in the case of the United States, right, we've seen property prices rise by, you know, over 100% in the last 2 years, right? And it's completely correlated with the M2, right? So it's not even that people's real estate prices are that much higher. It's just they're just keeping up with inflation, right? And then what does that do? What's the consequence of that? The consequence of that is that if you're a first-time homeowner, if you're a first-time buyer, now your plans are delayed by 5 years because you can't afford it, right? So what is that but not time theft? And these are concepts and things that are not talked about enough. And unfortunately, the political system, the way that it functions today, is that the both parties have hijacked people, and they say it's the other side's fault. And then they get distracted fighting amongst each other, but they're not focusing on what is the thing that's actually breaking things. And the thing is the money printer. The money printer, every time they print money, it's theft. And you have to call it for what it is, theft. Anyways, all right, everybody, let's check out the meme review.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by Kaboom Racks. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is Kaboom Racks. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRacks. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. Kaboom Racks. All right, everybody. As per popular requests, the super chats are on YouTube. So if you want to drop a super chat, and Opti and I will literally stop the show to read it, whatever it is you say.
That's probably the worst mistake we've made. But yes, we will stop the show and read it. You already know, guys, this is the meme review. Tweets are the bullets. Memes are the artillery. You guys are frontline soldiers in this memetic warfare, and don't take it from us. Watch yesterday's show and you can hear other people say the same thing that we say. It is a battle for the hearts and minds of the masses, and you guys are putting your hat in the ring. Anyways, again, put your meme review score in the chat when I'm done so that we can cover it. I got trolled yesterday on yesterday's show for my skin care routine. Shouts out the Jedi skill, and he goes, "Optinol for the masses," and a picture of me with a Tree of Life retinol serum. Flawless, younger, perfect for all skin types. Y'all be wildin'. The chat is savage. It's a feature, God. Not a bug. I had to do it, Nico. Hopefully this isn't too spicy. Anyway, Mikey of the Corn, SBF, about to make a new friend, and he's in jail with I can't really say it, but if you know, come on down YouTube.
Oh God. Okay.
All right, this next one is by Corey Clipson. Again, we are going to continue to dunk on SBF, and this is the butterfly meme. Is this meme? And he goes, "SBF arrested," and the butterfly is F'd by Caroline, and he goes, "Was this the sex tape?" Savage. Oh, savage. This next one, shouts out to my boy Rope. Elon gave him his original Twitter account back, and we got this little anime of the girl that has a crush on the guy in the front, and she's thinking about marrying him, and in his thought bubble, he goes, "SBF/FTX had a private chat named Wire Fraud?" Amazing. Okay, this last one, or actually second to last one, is by Maxi's Club. Again, I love what you're doing, bro. And this is another play on the bicycle meme where, you know, we got a guy riding his bike and he sticks a stick in his own tire and then blames someone else. So we got scammers, literally a rat on a bicycle, and he goes, literally collapse the entire crypto market and destroy lives, you know, hurts himself. Damn, Bitcoin maximalists. And here we are just unfazed over here, little Pepe holding his Bitcoin. Okay, this last one is by our boy Toxicap, and I think this one's pretty hilarious. I'm pretty sure this is a play on the Spotify rap 2022 playlist stuff, and it goes, get wrecked, the self-custody is too hard person, you left your funds on a third-party custodian, you stupid bitch. absolute savages, love it. Okay, my meme review score today is this half-drinking Waterloo, sparkling water. This black cherry flavor is not that good, I will tell you that much, but I'm trying to get back in my sparkling water phase so that I do not drink soda. I'm trying to slim down. I'm trying to get a fit body, fit mind, fit soul over here. Ooh. So I'm addicted to soda. Ah, kill me.
Okay, so I'm going to give it this wrinkled Chipotle napkin.
Oh, ooh, I had Chipotle last night too.
Chipotle is delicious. Iwan, yeah. What would you give those memes?
I'm giving my shirts.
I told you so.
I told you so.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's a great score.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a great score.
Do it again. Do it
there
again.
You go. I told you there so. You go.
Okay. Guys, this is Simply Bitcoin Live. Drop your meme score in the live chat before we start reading those. Guys, check out representltd.com. They make some of the most comfortable hoodies, shirts, hats. They also make Simply Bitcoin merch. It just dropped the whole Simply Bitcoin collection. It's limited edition, so when the shirts and hoodies run out, can't get those anymore. There's a cap supply.
You know, someone told me that this sweater is green, and I thought it was light brown this whole time.
Opti is colorblind for anyone who doesn't know. Anyways, guys, check out representltd.com, and you could use the promo code simply-bitcoin, get a 10% discount. Let's check out some of the scores. First one by Frank Arn. I give the memes all the well-deserved rape. I give the memes all the well-deserved rapey jokes towards SBF. Jesus.
Good
Elaine,
job, chat.
I give those memes 10,000 views for the George Gammon Michael Saylor interview. Okay. Next one by Igor. Igor says, I give those memes a Croatia penalty victory. Oof, if you know, you know. Today's the World Cup. That's right, it's coming up 45 minutes. Opti's infatuation with sexy male British accents says...
That's from yesterday. Apparently, he is not going to be able to continue his Simply Bitcoin chat influencer role because YouTube is... They're capping his name changes to once a week. So he's going to have to get more creative and do it once a week.
Score is 69% alcohol inside the sparkling water can.
fake news.
That's funny. Max says, I give a freshly squeezed zit. Ugh, I didn't want to know that. Okay, last one by Chibukoop. I give the memes a color deficiency.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Narwhal Tacos, I give the memes yet another YouTube refresh while I'm trying to chat. Sheesh. Also, guys, check out Simply Bitcoin's Telegram group. It's absolutely free. You got to go to www.t.me/simplybitcointv. And also check out the written version of the show. We dropped an article today. You got to go to www.simplybitcoin.news. Shout out our awesome writer, Zach Paul Winekiss. We got someone else coming as well. Anyways, everybody, software release?
I got a site by... Site by Plebe, Bitcoiner.
Site by Plebe? Yeah. All right, let's check it out.
Pleb Sites.
Brought to you by CipherSafe. Don't be that person that loses their Bitcoin seed due to fire damage, water damage, dog attacks. Back up your generational Bitcoin wealth on Steel. And there's no better place to do it than the Cypher Grid by CipherSafe. And now check out their new Bitcoin art, the Bitcoin Rulux. Triangle only on CipherSafe.io.
Let's go. Okay, guys. So I forgive me, but I forget who hit me to this in the Simply Bitcoin Telegram group. But go check out LightSats, lightsats.com. They're on the mission to try to orange pill the world one tip at a time. This is another tipping, adventure out there, trying to get the noobs on Bitcoin by just tipping them some Bitcoin. And the thing that I like about this is it's not going to, you won't lose any sats over there. If the person doesn't claim their tips, you will get the sats back. But the also cool part is they have a whole process of trying to onboard people. They're doing their part to educate people to get them, you know, Bitcoin wallets in their hand and continue to get them in the circular economy that is Bitcoin. Anyways, guys, go check out lightsats.com.
Guys, I want to give a very special shout out to our awesome guest. Ivan, thank you so much for joining us today. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
They can find me on Twitter. My name is Ivan Makedonsky, and it's Nakoo2000, N-A-C-K-O-O 2000 in Twitter. I post there a little bit of animations. That's what I use so I can connect with people that are Bitcoiners. And I'm trying to illustrate all the things that Bitcoiners talk about in a visual form.
Awesome. Yeah, Ivan is really talented animator. We've used his stuff for some of our videos. Ivan, thank you so much for joining us on Simply Bitcoin. Love to have you back on in a couple months or so.
Okay, so anyway, that happened already.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Guys, thank you so much for joining us. Another episode of Simply Bitcoin Live. If you enjoyed the show, you know what to do. Smash that like button. Consider subscribing. Number one thing you could do to help this channel, in fact, help the peaceful revolution, is share this video. Share all Bitcoin content. Get the message out there. The party continues all the way to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We got about 40 minutes. We are hosting a space with our friends over at Swan Bitcoin, best place to stack sats. And that party continues all the way to 2 p.m. An opportunity to speak to me and Opti directly, or speak to Ivan as well if he decides to come. Guys, we love you all, and we will see you tomorrow for a brand new episode of Simply Bitcoin Live.